it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're halfway home on a Tuesday, baby. We just had Brian Baldinger on. We are fired up, and the defense got Baldy fired up. Now, he wasn't excited about George Kittle and that injury, and we'll get to that. We'll get to all of it. But first and foremost, we got the one, the only, Bonte Hill.
Plays
in
music.
Studio.
Play.
What is it? What's the music? We got an intro for him? Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Oh.
Hear ye. Quiet down. The king has something
no,
to
we
say.
Need something better than this.
Majesty, could you please tell us the king's
I wish
tale?
You would have said that when I was on the show.
What?
We need something better than this.
Oh, stop. Bonte Hill, ladies and gentlemen.
What would your walk-up music be?
Kurt Angle.
No, it'd be something
no,
Jay-Z.
It wouldn't be too. Jay-Z's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Maybe
saying.
Maybe some Nipsey. Oh, that's
Bill
a tough
Collins?
Question.
Grinding all my life.
Maybe some 50.
Okay. This is a big reach down.
Yeah, it could be that.
Oh, my God.
I love the nicknames on YouTube right now. Bonte Snooze Button Hill. That's
wow.
a good one.
Wow.
Bonte Bright Lights Hill.
That's okay,
a good one.
That's
These
not
lights
bad.
Are pretty bright right now.
So let's start right here.
Is that ChatGPT?
Let's start right here.
It's AI.
We'll get to the game itself in a second. You heard the news yesterday about George Kittle. You heard the news about, I guess, TBD on Juwan Jennings. And then the Brock Purdy thing kind of comes out of left field for most people. I didn't know he was injured at all. Shoulder and toe, your thoughts were?
Yeah, so I was on that conference call when Shanahan just comes out of nowhere. All right, injuries this week. George Kittle out 3 to 5, which I think we all assumed when we heard hamstring
in
George Kittle. I said, see you in October,
exactly.
Mr. Kittle. And then he goes, Brock Purdy's shoulder and a toe. And I was like, what? I'm on the conference call, like, what? Yeah. And so all the questions started coming towards Shanahan. And just listening to Baldy, I guess it happened on the last play of the game, the left shoulder.
Well, I saw multiple big hits where he got planted. So, you know, the detectives, the all 22 sleuths had 3 or 4 plays. The one where he spun out in the first half and threw, he got planted pretty hard. I don't know what play it happened on.
Yeah, I don't know what play it happened on either. But look, and I was listening to you guys the last hour and we watched this guy in 2023 suffer a concussion on Monday Night Football against Minnesota. He did not practice that entire week. Got cleared on a Saturday and started against Cincinnati. They were down 17-10 late in the third quarter before Brock Purdy threw 2 egregious interceptions. Mm. So, look, whether or not he practices, I don't think it matters. If Shanahan and the medical team think that he can go, he's going to go on Sunday because Carlos Ramirez was doing this yesterday on 49ers Now. I'm not here to disrespect the New Orleans Saints.
No.
Spencer Rattler had that team 20 seconds away from tying that football game against Arizona, who a lot of people have picked to win the NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm not overlooking New Orleans. You may go down there without Juwan Jennings. You already know you're going down there without George Kittle. McCaffrey, after 31 touches, what is he going to look like? So if Purdy is cleared to go, you play him. I don't care if it's turf, concrete, blue turf, grass, white turf, red turf. I don't care if he's ready to go because here's the thing. You need Brock Purdy to continue to build rapport with Ricky Pearsall. What if Jordan Watkins comes back? You need him to build a rapport there with Jordan Watkins and continue to build that chemistry with Brian Robinson in the pass game if he does get some touches there. So all hands on deck, man. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
And shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask First NorCal Financing Dealer. As always, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Bonte Hill joining us for the next 2 hours each and every Tuesday, locked and loaded on some red and gold as the Niners start 1-0, now heading to New Orleans, potentially without their quarterback Brock Purdy. And Bonte is courtesy of River Island. So Bonte, you just mentioned it right there. That Pearsall and Purdy connection was popping in Seattle. And it was refreshing to see, considering George Kittle going down, Juwan Jennings, obviously missing all of training camp, not looking right, gets the shoulder injury, then he's out. They needed that in the worst way. And obviously, DeMarcus Robinson having that three-game suspension. How massive is that connection and building off of it when it comes to the former first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah, well, it's obvious, right? I mean, this is a first-round pick, and you see in training camp, and this is what I loved about training camp, is that every time they had, whether it was a miscue, they didn't have the chemistry, whether Brock Purdy misfired or something, or Pearsall would run the right wrong route or didn't take the necessary steps or the necessary depth to have the right route, they would talk. They would talk after every single play. Hey, this is what I saw here. Hey, let's do this. We saw this in the joint practice against Denver. I saw it all training camp between these two. So they need Ricky Pearsall to be a dude on his team. There's no doubt about it because you don't know what Brandon Ayuk's going to be towards the latter half of the season. Where's Juwan Jennings at, who basically held in? I don't necessarily believe that he had a calf injury. So where is he going to be at this season? Jordan Watkins is a rookie. We know how difficult it is for rookies to crack this system with Kyle Shanahan. Kendrick Bourne's back, but where is he? How much juice does he have left in the tank? Right. I haven't watched Patriot football over the last 3 weeks, so having Ricky Pearsall in the pass game do what he did on Sunday, absolutely it's massive. You need him to be a guy in this offense, and I think for week one against that Seattle defense, hey, he made some big catches there. First drive, and of course the last drive.
I think his best play of the day, even though it didn't have the biggest result on the outcome or whatever, was Pearsall made a catch on the sideline, and this is Greg Olsen calling it. He goes, it's a shake seven. You sell the post, yep, and then you go back toward the sideline.
Right.
Purdy threw an absolute perfect ball, yep, and he it's a contested catch where he's got to get both feet down, catch the ball, and go to a great throw, a better catch.
Yeah, I
love
it.
It was unreal.
I love the sideline throw on the final possession.
Yeah. No, that was great too.
Where you had to have a play. You needed to make a play. You had no business being down in that football game in the fourth quarter. The Niners dominated that game for the most part.
Time of possession was massive.
Obviously, we'll get to the kicker. We'll get to some of the bad throws Brock Purdy made. And I wonder if he did get hurt earlier in that game, how much did it affect his throwing? Because here's the thing, and I see, we talk about him throwing outside the numbers, and I see a beat writer out there having fun with that. The zip on the back. Like, you watch Josh Allen on Sunday Night Football.
I mean, come on.
Zip, right?
Yeah.
You watch Caleb Williams, even though I wasn't.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams was erratic as hell yesterday.
He doesn't have a touch, but he throws one of the fastest fastballs in
exactly
the game.
Exactly. Brock Purdy sometimes, even on the first drive, throwing outside the numbers, he's floating them a little bit.
The
so
touchdown
I wonder,
pass that could have been to Ricky Pearsall. Yeah, he's got to zip
exactly,
that in.
Exactly. Exactly. I wonder how much that shoulder affected some of the zip on his passes. I have no idea.
I thought it was the non-throwing shoulder.
It's the non-throwing shoulder, but could he step in?
I have no idea. Yeah,
so,
not getting your full body
so
into it. That's a good point.
You know, so how does that affect his throwing motion there? But, look, that was a dart to Ricky Pearsall. There's no doubt about that. But he's got to be better in some of the situations. Again, he tried to play hero ball. It almost cost the 49ers.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, is his performance overall, and this is why we love football, right? Week one, he has two touchdowns, but he has two interceptions. Oh, well, they were down. Yeah, but he brought them back. That's always...
It was a mixed bag.
Oh, God, how we were talking about the quarterbacks last night. It just was driving me insane, but this is what we do in football. We talk about the quarterbacks and their performances. 26 to 35, 277, two touchdowns, two picks. What did you make of the performance overall from Brock Purdy?
When he needed to lead the team down the field to score a game, win a touchdown, he did it. And this game was not going to be easy in the first place. It's Seattle.
Yeah.
They had lost three straight to the Niners in their home building at Lumen Field. They were desperate to get this win. And for the Niners, who only won one division game last season, to go up there, and you know how hard it is. We saw this last night with Chicago, and I don't think Chicago is the team San Francisco is, but Chicago lost the momentum, and they failed to regain it.
I agree.
Dominating the football game. They miss a kick. They lose all the momentum, and they failed to regain it. The Niners lose the momentum at halftime, come back in the third quarter, lose a momentum again.
It was a bad quarter.
And was still able to rally and win that football game. To me, that was impressive. With all the youngsters on that football team, with all the injuries that's happened, Jennings not being in practice, Kittle leaving in the first half, I give Brock Purdy a B-minus. Although those interceptions, look, the Tonsis play, he threw it up there, YOLO throw.
Oh, my God.
Woolen. I don't know.
I thought he could have made, at minimum two pass breakups on that drive.
Yep.
People could say interceptions. Let's just say pass breakups. He could have, and I thought he misplayed both balls.
He did. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not, look, he misplayed it, but the fact that he gave his receivers an opportunity to make a play, I can live with that. So I'll give him a B-minus, although the interception in that third quarter off the back foot, and then he, I'm telling you, the last interception.
Throw. How about the jump throw?
The jump throw, oh, Aaron early Jordan, in the game? Nobody talks about that.
That was
well, somebody tweeted that
throw.
Yesterday. It's like, oh, look at Brock Purdy with the jump throw. I'm
it was
like,
a bad throw.
Dog, that was almost an interception.
Exactly.
But also, the quadruple intercept, the interception and the quadruple coverage, it reminded me of Jimmy Garoppolo 2019 against Cincinnati in week number two when Jimmy threw it up and there was five Bengals around them. They scored. And you know what Shanahan did the next drive? And he did it in this game. He said, Jimmy, you're not going to throw it. We're going to run the ball down their throats and take the air out the football. You got to settle down, buddy. And Shanahan did the same thing
right here
with Brock Purdy after, this, after the interception.
So after the interceptions, Niners get a stop. Khalil Davis comes through the big play. CMC run. CMC run. B-Rob run. B-Rob run. CMC, little tiny short controlled pass.
I remember.
CMC run. CMC run.
I'm well aware.
B-Rob run. Like, it's crazy. Did exactly that.
I'm well aware. And it reminded me of Cincinnati week two when Jimmy Garoppolo did the same thing. And I said, oh, Shanahan is fed up here.
And I love that you said that, Bonte, because it was what I was talking about yesterday. He wasn't playing like risk averse football. He was being aggressive. Now, that bit him in the ass. He was going to quadruple coverage. You can't do that. But he let Tonjes make a play. He had trust in his playmakers to make plays. I didn't have George Kittle out there. I didn't have Juwan Jennings out there. I have to throw it to someone. And I felt like, conversely, Sam Darnold was playing not to lose the game at times. I felt like he was 16 to 23, zero touchdowns, zero picks, played within himself. Hey, Sam, don't lose us the game. Now, I mean, Cooper Kupp's got to make a catch there. His receivers got to help him sometimes. But really, it was Jackson Smith and Jigba. And the Niners defense shut down everything else.
Well, Sam Darnold is who he thought he was.
Seeing ghosts.
I mean, we saw
that's
the last two
games.
That's what
he does. He wets the bed late.
That's what I'm saying. Last week of the season, gets Detroit home field advantage
Thank
on the
you.
Line. What did they score? 9 points?
It's awful.
You go into the playoff game, Glendale, Arizona against the Rams, and what happens?
Bonte, the Niners destroyed that Lions defense just a week or two prior.
So, I mean, everybody in Seattle was so quick to move off of Geno Smith. We sure that's an upgrade? To me, that's a lateral move going from Geno to Sam Darnold.
Geno looked good week one.
Geno didn't look bad in week one. He was letting that thing fly. So Sam Darnold is, he tried to get the 49ers the ball twice on that final possession. He did. And then finally he throws up all over himself and boasts up with a great pressure and he fumbles the ball. Seattle made a $90 million mistake. Thank God for that. So Seattle's going to be tough. They're going to try to run the ball with Clint Kubiak and be a carbon copy of the 49ers offensively, but I don't fear Sam Darnold, Shasky. Come on, do you?
Losing DK Metcalf is a big loss. Mm-hmm. Like the downgrade from DK to Cooper Kupp is pretty precipitous.
Massive. But also, there's a lot of chatter. We just had Baldy on. I heard Baldy. Baldy was a guy. When you asked him a question, if you were John Lynch, what would you do in the offseason?
Yeah.
He said, call Sam Darnold. How do we feel about that now?
Well,
even with Brock Purdy throwing the two picks, I still rather have Brock Purdy than Sam Darnold every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, he showed you there towards the end. The guy that won the game wasn't risk averse. The guy that lost the game was seeing ghosts, and he wet the bed. It's Sam Darnold. It's what he does, Bonte.
That's what he does.
Like, people were saying, oh, it was a fluke play. It was this. It was lucky. I was like, no. I've seen Brock pull rabbits out of the hat multiple times. That's who he is at this point. Sam Darnold finds ways to lose,
Joe. It reminded me of Russell Wilson against the Niners.
Yes.
What Brock did to.
Yes.
Where it would be like, if I was on the other end of that, I'd be like, what a lucky play. That's what I would be saying.
It was.
Because look, it was a fortunate play for the Niners. That's the way I would describe it. You referenced all the young players making contributions. The only way this team is good sustainably, you know, over the next couple of years, is if guys who are in their first and second year take quantum leaps. And I look at Pearsall. Big step forward. Renardo Green, big step forward. Dominic Pooney's pretty solid. Mustafa didn't play in this one. Bethune got a couple of snaps. Guerrero, okay, throw him to the side. Cowie doesn't play. Then I look at this year's draft class. Mikel Williams got a lot of snaps in this one. TBD on him overall as a player. Collins and CJ West only combined 15 snaps, so not much. Nick Martin, not much. DNP, obviously. Connor Colby got in there at some point on the offensive line. And then Marquise Siegel and Upton Stout play a lot of snaps. Siegel, you're starting free safety. If this team wants to be good, not just this year, but into the future, they have got to hit on a handful of guys from each draft class.
Well, I think 49er fans are going to fall in love with this defense. These are the defenses that I tend to fall in love with. We got a mix of veterans, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and you got the youthful infusion. Not only Marquise Siegel and Mikel Williams, but you got Upton Stout, as you mentioned, and then Renardo Green from Florida State in the second year. Marquise Siegel was the better player all training camp than Jair Brown. It wasn't even close. So when that depth chart came out last week saying that Jair Brown was a starter, I thought it was a massive mistake. I thought they cannot go.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to this football game with Tig Brown as a starting strong safety. He could not cover anybody in practice, in preseason, did not matter. He could not cover. Marquise Siegel made play after play after play. Now, up to the stout, they're going to test him. And he's going to have some ups. He's going to have some downs.
He was baptized in
right.
the first half.
And he's going to get baptized all season long in that slot. It is not easy being a slot corner, especially as a rookie. But you know what? The guy has short-term memory. He's physical. He's learning on the fly. He never lost his confidence. D Winters, I'm telling you, and I don't – this is why you trade for Brian Robinson, because what D Winters did to Isaac Garrido the first day of shoulder pads, when they first started hitting, D Winters de-cleated him. Mm. And I let out a whoa, and everybody in the media looked at me. I said, did y'all see that? And from that moment, Garrido was basically MIA in training camp, and D Winters was making plays. That's when D Winters made that play, I thought – is that Dre Greenlaw?
Yep.
I was confused for a second. I was like, Greenlaw's back on the Niners? He played outstanding football.
He did a great job. Siegel did as well, and also Bosa. There were multiple screens out in the flat, and they were patient enough to let it kind of set up and not get too over-pursue happy in one way or the other, and then just knife through the blockers, shed them, and make a play. I was very impressed with the patience of D-Winners.
D-Winners is going to be – he's going to ball in. Everybody's going out, going crazy over Nick Martin. He's going to get his time. He'll get his time. He's watching. He's learning. He's got to learn the game. He has a problem like Greenlaw early on where he overpursues a little bit and he's a little out of control. He will learn, but also this defensive line. We don't talk enough about Sam Okwuanu and the play he made to really shave that foot, to punch out. And he's a good pass rusher. He's going to demand double teams at times because he's so quick off the edge. So this young defense, they're learning on the fly, but they shut down the run. They're flying around. The secondary didn't let one explosive down the field on that final drive. I'm telling you, man, Niner fans are going to fall in love with this defense. And the biggest acquisition all offseason within the division, Robert Saleh.
They were bottom five in points per game last year, Bonte, and they just held their division rivals to 13 points.
They gave them
13 points in today's NFL. Are you kidding me?
They gave up 4.4 yards a carry and almost 2,200 yards on the ground last year.
Yep.
That's what this team was. And this year, to have the five-man front at the beginning of the game, and I thought early on Seattle was owning the offense, their line of scrimmage. But I thought the Niners made the adjustments and slowed down that toss kind of little crack back play that they were doing.
No, they dominated the line of scrimmage. They had them three and out. They were and solid with some timely blitzes. We saw it on the first drive. We saw some timely blitzes. That first blitz that he had where Bosa loops inside and they bring in D Winters was beautiful. So Saleh's going to play games. And it was so much of a difference in having Nick Sorensen and all that defense. Third down defense was solid. They showed blitz at times. They backed out of blitzes. Five-man fronts, four-man fronts. And look, I'm going to say this real quick about him. The numbers, and I mentioned this earlier in the training camp, it's going to be a little like Eric Armstead, where you look at the box score, you look at the numbers saying, damn, I'm not impressed. He's not registering anything, tackles, but holding the edge, point of attack, not getting driven down the field, and shutting down the run game. That's going to be his job early on until he learns how to pass rush. And missing the preseason for him, he needed a preseason.
Well, I thought
so he's behind the eight ball.
I thought their offensive line looked like they needed, this was their preseason. And we're going to talk about this a lot over the next couple of weeks, but for everyone in the league right now, the first month of the season is the preseason.
No doubt.
And the fact that no one's playing at all, it seems like, in these exhibition games, and even some guys are sitting out of joint practices like Trent Williams, all these games early on.
You hate that.
Well, it speaks as a front runner. I thought it was front runner vibes.
Oh, speaking of that, your San Francisco Giants taking on the LA Dodgers at Oracle Park this Saturday, September 13th. The first 15,000 guests receive a 49ers baseball jersey. Buy your tickets at sfgiants.com. But if you want to win your way into the game, be the first caller to the contest line now at 415-523-4652. But you got to answer this question. It's Know the Show. We just had Baldy on. And we had him on. What did Baldy say about whether or not Brock Purdy should play on Sunday? He gave a very distinct response to that question. What did Baldy say about whether or not Brock Purdy should play on Sunday? Answer that. Be the first caller there, 415-523-4652, and you'll score two tickets to the game, courtesy of Xfinity.
So the reason why I love the Saul acquisition, early on, you were referencing that first blitz. Over and over and over again, on second and third down, he would bring a lot of guys to the line of scrimmage, and you didn't know who was going to drop and who was going to pressure. And that felt like a far cry. Even the D'Amico Ryans, they played pretty base-like,
right,
where you'd have the four rushers, the two off-ball linebackers, and they kind of just stand there. You didn't see a lot of guys coming to the line. They were showing different formations, and they were showing different things pre- and post-snap. But it just felt so unique from what they've done the last few years, and I was just like, about time. And then later on in the game, after Jackson Smith and Jigba had really, you know, he dominating them at one point in this game, it's like, all right, make the adjustment, bracket this guy, figure out a way to slow him down. Right. And I thought Stout dropping in coverage, getting his hand on a ball, you were seeing in real time the adjustments that Saleh was making.
And look, there's going to be up and downs, like Saleh said. You got to buckle up, man, because it's going to be a roller coaster ride. Again, I keep mentioning this, the first nine games, I don't care how you win. And I see the comments, and I, you know, you're feeling good about a victory against a division rival. And again, what is my motto? Division games aren't easy.
They won one division game last year. 1-5.
Division games are just different. The Eagles outlasted the Cowboys with a rain. You know what I'm saying? Like, these division games, the Chargers beat the Chiefs in Brazil. They're not easy. And for the 49ers early on this season, they're going to have to win ugly. Six of the first nine are on the road. All right? So I hear Baldy talk about silent counts in Seattle, silent counts in New Orleans. Yeah. It's not going to be easy, but with Robert Saleh there, manning his defense, being a leader in the room, and you got Fred Warner who's flying. Fred Warner just, I mean, what a stud.
He's a gladiator.
What a gladiator. Yeah, I mean, the guy just gets better with age, right? He's aging like a fine wine. And you bring along D winners, and it's young secondary. They had a young secondary back in 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was Richard Sherman and then Adrian Colbert and a bunch of randoms.
K'Wan Williams was young. K-1. And, you know, they identify guys. So, far, these picks that they have with Marquise, anybody recognize Marquise Siegel? He looked like a five-year veteran out there.
Bronte, he looked like the free safety they've been looking for. I even go past Jimmy Ward. Right. I go more like Eric Reed, Deshaun Golson.
Exactly.
They've been looking for a free safety, a legit one.
And to have the guts, Spinoni, to go to a rookie like that, Siegel and Stout in the back end against Seattle with Jackson Smith and Jigba up there in the 12s, that's huge. And these guys are coaching them up. So, again, I think Niner fans are going to fall in love with this defense. And the biggest acquisition, it's not Davante Adams in L.A. It's Robert Saleh coming back to the 49ers as a D coordinator.
Let's get a respectability factor back for sure.
I want to get into Christian McCaffrey. I want to get into the offense and how he was utilized. And we have to get into, I mean, I hate to do it, but.
You got it.
Kicker watch. Jacob Moody.
That sucks, you know, situationally.
You've defended Jake Moody at times, Monte. We got to get your opinion on, can this guy be defended anymore?
We'll do that on the other side. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the 49ers Week 1 win in Seattle. Bonte Hill in studio, the rest of the show, courtesy of River Islands. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Moderna.
I swear to God, Natalie Nicasse, Coach of the Year, hands down, with all the injuries they've had, different lineups.
Lost their
all-star. Lost their all-star. I mean, it's a hell of a story. And they sold out every single game. Now, I don't have to hear about, Chase Sutter can't get loud. They moved to the city.
They didn't just sell out. They had the highest attended year of all time in the WNBA.
Year number one.
That is remarkable.
Oh, no doubt. It's the story of the Bay Area.
Yep.
Not even close. So I'll be watching that on my screen. I got the Giants tonight taking on the D-backs. Giants still got, I can't believe these jokers still got a shot, man.
Logan Webb, 200 strikeouts.
Dude, your
first
boy Jung-Hoo Lee.
Jung-Hoo Lee's on fire right now. Since August 1st, batting .341.
He's going the other way.
He gets credit. I give him credit. Give him credit when it's credit. Yeah. Again, we're talking about this. They have foundational pieces for 2026.
They do.
You know,
I don't hate it. Hey, I was on Justin Verlander's bandwagon, by the way.
No.
Don't you
were trolling
dare.
Me, talking about they got no pillars. And I said, hey, dude, the Davis, Devers, I would bring Verlander back for $7 million. Verlander's been better than what the numbers suggest. Back into the rotation, what you got? You want to go bird talk and Winston up?
Four as a 4-5, yeah. I have zero problems with that. Zero problems.
I want to get into the Niners.
Okay? I'm a baseball guy.
I know, but we brought you in for football.
Okay.
So we can talk baseball if they can continue to stay in it. You know I want to talk baseball, but the audience wants to hear football.
Three back, four with the tiebreaker.
Yeah, there like the audience wants to hear football.
I know, I hear.
Christian McCaffrey. I thought as a pass catcher, he was dynamic. Unbelievably dynamic. As a runner, there wasn't a lot of running lanes. I thought he was slightly hesitant. You know, let's give it a couple of weeks, and then I'll be able to make a full assessment. He had a couple of really nice jump cuts, some patient cuts back up the field. But as a pass catcher, I thought Shanahan did a great job with these little short controlled screens, these little angle routes. I loved the way they utilized him, and I loved the way they utilized Brian Robinson in tandem with Christian McCaffrey. I just thought it was a really well-designed play game, played. Given that Seattle was looking to stop him.
Well, you had to change your game plan, right? Because George Kittle was injured. What was it? Midway through the second quarter, hamstring.
Brutal.
Out.
When they panned to him and he was in a baseball hat, I was like, "Why is he on the sideline?"
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, "You got to be kidding me!"
He had an unbelievable camp. I mean, the guy. We always talk about the best player in camp, right? Ayuk has had that title. Fred Warner's had that title. Mm-hmm. George Kittle looked like a man possessed. I swear to God he was primed for a career year. And he has a baseball hat on. So then it's like, damn, you don't have your number one target in the pass game right now. So where do you go here? As Carter brings, wow.
What is going on?
Carter's bringing Spadoni coffee? Damn.
I forgot to add a sugar packet. That's okay.
Wow.
Diva tendencies.
DTs, man. You're that guy now, Spadoni.
I mean, that's wow.
You're that guy. I've never asked guys to get me coffee.
No, Sam would bring it to you constantly.
No, he never did. No, what he would do is say, hey, you got to go back. I'll bring it in for you. I'm like, nah, I don't want that.
Oh, he does that. When I say to do that, he says, no, you just got to suck it up. Wow, okay. I know where I stand now, Sam.
The amount of times I've brought all of you guys coffee,
not
you have
me.
No right to talk.
I asked you to, but Carter did it for me. I'll remember that. There you go.
So McCaffrey,
I still can't get over the door opening and Carter walking in and handing Spadoni a coffee and him being like, yeah, you're supposed to bring me that coffee. You know, I can just tell by the face.
Hey, Carter, next time, sugar packet. Thank you.
Shut up.
Continue.
Man, that's...
Does Christian McCaffrey need a sugar packet or two? 888-957-9570.
Delete that one low, man. That's fine words.
What did you think of McCaffrey's utilization?
I mean, 31 touches, right?
But I'm not mad about, because you got to win games early. We can worry about pitch count in, like, November. And I can worry about, you know, spacing it out. We got to stack wins.
Well, you got to stack wins, and you got to manage them throughout the week. That's, again, okay, even before the calf, we were having this discussion on Friday, where whether he came up with the calf injury or not, you're going to have to manage him throughout the week to get through 18 games and maybe the playoffs. So you rest him on Wednesday, you rest him on Thursday, limited participant, and he was ready to roll. The fact is that you saw no effects of the calf injury. He was cutting. He was bouncing. I love the two screenplays they ran. I've never seen a screenplay before.
Well, the
angle
one.
When they ran the Texas angle. That's
yes.
They ran it twice.
But that was on first or second and 10?
Well, they ran it twice. Once in the first half, once in the second half.
The second half was the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, they ran it twice. They ran it once in the first half. It was an angle route.
He got hit from behind.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't recall how he got tackled, but they ran it twice. And that's a new wrinkle. I've never seen a screenplay ran like that, where he runs an angle route. Doom, you got the two linemen right there ready to block. I was like, wow, that's pretty creative by Kyle Shanahan and company. So he looked great in the pass game. I mean, he was everywhere in the pass game. And I thought he was a gladiator in the run game. Just getting the tough yards to keep the Niners on schedule. Keeping them out of third and long situations. Him and B-Rob for that fact. So staying out of third and sevens. And having third and twos and third and threes to where, okay, we could call two plays here because we know the kicker is basically crapping on himself. We got to go for it on fourth down. So CMC was CMC, man. Again, he looked like that in training camp. I think there would be more lanes for him to run as the season prolongs here. So good on CMC. Got through first game. We'll hopefully limit the touches to maybe 20 to 25. But, hey, 31 big boy touches on Sunday.
What did you think about the distribution pass and run?
Great balance, I thought.
I thought so, too.
I love the balance. Again, they should have scored more points.
Yeah.
They should have scored more points. We know why they need to score more points.
Well, they could have scored a touchdown on the Pearsall throw to the out. It was a brilliantly designed play. Pearsall's open.
Not enough zip on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Purdy's got to rip that one in.
And then I'm looking at this right now, and it was, 36 carries, obviously, for the offense, 26 throwing, but it was very balanced, a balanced attack.
Exactly.
And that's again, as we were all watching the Cowboys doc and waxing poetically about it, Norv Turner, balance. That's what they always talk about with this team. And that's when the 49ers are at their best. And they needed Christian McCaffrey in the passing game desperately after Juwan Jennings and Kittle both go out. Bonte, 9 receptions for 73 yards. And I truly believe this. If he just like wanted to be a slot receiver in the NFL, he could be one of the better ones because he just has the elite hands. You saw it multiple times on Sunday.
I mean, he's just a tick down for Marshall Faulk.
Yep.
That's who I've always thought Christian McCaffrey was, dating back to his Stanford days. I say, wow, he's not just a white runner. This guy's like Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
Like, forget the skin color for a second, because people fixate on that. This guy is a elite running back, and you see him at the top of the charts when it comes to having a receiving touchdown and rushing touchdown in the same game. I mean, he's tight with Marshall Faulk.
Yep.
He can't play in the slot, and we see that. I saw that all camp where they had him in the slot, and I think we'll see more of that, Shasky, moving forward.
I hope
where
so.
B. Rob would be the lead back, McCaffrey go in the slot, maybe motion out of the backfield, and you utilize him in a pass game, and all of a sudden everybody's like, alert, alert, 23's in a pass game, and then you hand it off to B. Rob where he gets 7-8 yards. And as B. Rob gets more comfortable in the offense, you saw some of the tough running he provided on Sunday against Seattle.
Even if you lose a step, as a pass-catching running back, you can be highly effective later in your career. I was watching the Niner game, wild card game, 98 against Green Bay. Terry Kirby, old man Terry Kirby with no legs, is making plays out there. Kevin Faulk forever was making plays late in his career. So even if he, let's say he slows down between the tackles just ever so slightly, he can still be an effective pass catcher for years to come.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Now we got to see how he manages his injuries.
Of course.
He has hands, better hands than maybe all receivers on the football team right now. Seriously, he's got great hands.
Might be.
Hall of Fame hands. So I love the way they use him. Again, you mentioned it, Spadoni, balance, 31 carries. You got 22 from McCaffrey. You got 9 from Brian Robinson. I think that's what the Niners want every single game. They want to get to that 30 number.
I was watching Ricky Pearce. So I threw this comp out at Baldy. And you could agree, disagree. I think we do this thing like white guy plays like white guy. And you were talking about it regarding Christian McCaffrey.
They're always Wes Welker.
They're different body types. Because I think Pearsall's a little taller. And I don't think he's as fast. Straight line fast as this guy, but Emmanuel Sanders reminds me of Pearsall. He's athletic. He gets past DBs. He makes tough catches in the middle of the field. I think his body contortion in traffic is better than I gave it credit for. I really like Pearsall as a receiver. Who does he remind you of?
This one, I'm not sure quite yet, but body type and the way he gets open. What about Garrett Wilson in New York with the Jets?
That's interesting.
He's not the fastest guy.
He's not big.
He's not the fastest guy. Yeah. He's not the biggest guy, but he knows how to get open, and he runs great routes. I don't know if I see Emmanuel Sanders in him. I heard you ask that to Baldy, and I agree with Baldy in terms of, like, he's a little shorter, and Sanders, never know if he was that guy.
No, yeah, but I don't think Pearsall's that guy. Like, I love him as a two. He might be the de facto one on this team this year, but I mean, I like the player. Maybe I'm selling him too short. I don't know.
I got to wait on it, but right now I'd see a little Garrett Wilson in this game.
That's interesting.
Where he just knows how to get open. He has good hands. Garrett Wilson makes every single play for the Jets. He's a stud. Now, I'm not saying Ricky Pearsall is Garrett Wilson, but when I was watching the Steelers in the morning and I saw Ricky Pearsall, I said, huh. That's interesting. It kind of reminds me of G. Wilson.
And he plays strong, too, which I appreciate about him, because he's listed at a buck 90, but even you were asking Baldy, and Baldy thinks he's a little bit bigger than Emmanuel Sanders, too.
Well, Emmanuel wasn't
exactly
tall.
He's wiry.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he was faster straight-line speed.
And Garrett Wilson, I was thinking Garrett Wilson, I was thinking Chris Olave, both similar types, but again, Chris Olave, by the way, got absolutely popped last week against, I think it was a Will Johnson, the rookie from the Cardinals. Oh, my God. I don't know if he's going to be available this week for the Saints, but that's another guy kind of like 180, 185, 6'1", 6'0". But I do think he could be a number one. Now, does he mean he's a number one like the way Justin Jefferson is?
Well, yeah, because like, to me, bona fide number ones, there's only so many of those.
I hear you on that. But for this team, that connection, I mean, the guy had 4 receptions and 108 yards.
I mean, they're
that's number one kind of production, right?
And they're playing, Gage Jr. and Valdez Scantling in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I was like looking at numbers and I'm like, who's 83? Is that Valdez Scantling?
It was literally the Ricky Pearsall and Jackson Smith and Jigba show.
What?
Yeah. How many targets did Pearsall have on Sunday?
Seven.
Seven targets. Yeah.
He had the bomb ski, the 45 yarder on the sideline. That was sick, by the way.
The first drive, he caught a big one over the middle of the field. It was a dime.
Yeah, it was a dime from Brock Purdy. Then he caught the next play where he goes out on the sideline and Purdy floats it over there. It was pretty good.
And we know that the trust factor's there with Pearsall. It's who else is Brock going to trust going forward?
DeMarcus Robinson's got to get back.
That suspension's killing him right now.
That's going to be a big boost to this offense. Because DeMarcus Robinson, I know it's just practice, and I don't want to go crazy.
He's like a legit wide receiver in the
NFL. He's an NFL player.
But you know what, though? When they put on the pads, he flashed every single day. And he's a big target. He's bigger than I thought he was. You know, 6'1", 6'2". He's kind of big. He wears that number 5. And he was a big target for Brock Purdy. So I think he's going to help out tremendously in the pass game once he gets back after the 3-game suspension.
So there's so many things to break down in this game. Before I get to Shanahan and the play calling in regards to how he viewed the kicker and the kicker as a whole. Offensive line. All the grades came out. My eyeball told me when I was watching the game on Sunday, and then I rewatched it again Sunday night, and again, you know, certain things Monday morning. I thought the offensive line was a work in progress for the Niners overall. I think a lesser quarterback would have been sacked a half dozen times in that first half. I thought Brock had some great instincts to get rid of the ball. What did you make of the offensive line, and in particular Trent Williams, who struggled last year and missed seven games? He's supposed to be the guy. What did you think of his performance this week?
Look, they all struggled, and I watched it back a couple times here. Seattle's got a really good front. Jaren Reed, Byron Murphy II, Leonard Williams has been a stud. DeMarcus Robinson is trying to find the fountain of youth up there in Seattle. Ernest Jones is a really good. DeMarcus Lawrence. Ernest Jones.
Nice too.
Look, they returned 10 of their 11 starters. Seattle's defense over the last eight games last year was on a heater, allowing only 147 points in those eight games. They were getting better and better.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And better and better. And so let me see week two, week three, week four before I judge this offensive line. Yeah, they had their struggles up there in Seattle. Got to remember, it's probably the loudest outdoor stadium in all of football, right? Lumen Field. You got the fake crowd noise and the fake-ass 12s with the jerseys on. What a phony-ass fan base they are. Oh, my God. But see, you got silent couch.
The amount of red and gold out there was crazy.
Oh, it's been like that the last 4 years.
Yeah, it's Purdy's 4-0 up there.
Yeah, 4-0 up there.
Straight.
Yeah. House of Horrors, right? No longer for the 49ers. So they did struggle. Trent, I need to watch it more closely because I watched him a couple times and he got beat in pass coverage. He was getting beat there a little bit there. So does he need reps because he didn't play in the preseason? Hell, he didn't even play in the joint practices, which I understand because he is 37. And if you lose Trent, this offensive line just they crumble without Trent.
He went down, he got rolled up on, and I think we all said the same thing. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Trent, he may have struggled in his first game, but I'm going to give him a couple weeks because it's really his first game all season.
Well, and also, I do think that's the best defense you're going to be playing for quite some time. Like, the Seahawks, we're going to look back at this win, I think, and say, wow, that was one of the better wins we had on the season.
Let's see Arizona.
For sure. We'll see Arizona.
I think we're sleeping on Arizona.
But I'm not sleeping on Mike McDonald and the Seahawks defense. I do think they're going to be one of the...
But they didn't have a Wosu, and they don't have a true edge rusher.
They don't. And the Saints team, who do they have? Cam Jordan, and I can't, like, who else? Right? They don't really have anyone.
I'm not sleeping on them, though.
I'm not sleeping on anyone.
They were in that game.
I'm giving the Seahawks a lot of credit, and for the 49ers to be able to do what they did against them.
Fair enough.
And I do think they could have scored more points, to Bonte's point. It could have looked a lot better in their favor, is what I'm saying. Yeah. And we're going to look back at this being a massive win. Do we want to go to a phone call here? Can we do that in 2 hours?
Let's go to calls. Yeah, I'm here for 2 hours.
JD is in Sacramento and wants to talk about, with Bonte, Shasky, and myself, the 49ers injuries. No, not that JD. Another JD in Sac. What's up, JD?
What's up, guys? Hey, just two quick points and I'll get out. I'll be fast. First, on the injury front, I heard you guys talking this morning. You know, why is this team continuing to get injured? It's the Shanahan scheme. It's the philosophy. The same things happen with Mike Shanahan in Denver. They want a smaller, more athletic team that can move. You're sacrificing size, and these guys are getting beat up. That's just kind of what's been happening since Kyle Shanahan's been here. Secondly, I was up in Seattle for the game on Sunday, my first ever road game. I've been to 100 Niner games in my life between Candlestick and Levi's. But I went up to Seattle this weekend with a couple of buddies, and we gave those fraudulent 12s the business. I rolled in there wearing a number 49 jersey with Hawk Hater on the back, and only one fan gave me any kind of grief. The rest of them were complimenting me, wanting to take pictures with my jersey. They're frauds. They're trash. That place is not that loud. The fake crowd noise is very, very clear. And the Niners took over and took care of business. It was a heck of a time.
They are frauds.
I love that he said they were very friendly and nice, but they're trash.
I was up there a couple years ago. They are frauds. Seattle fans are frauds. They're terrible.
So we were talking about the injuries earlier today.
Blaming Shanahan for it.
Well, I don't think that's fair. But like the game is violent to begin with. But if I was a part of the 49ers organization, and if this is any industry, and you were leading the league in top 10 in injuries year after year after year, I'm not saying it's anyone's fault, but you would have evaluate what everything you're doing, and you would try to like compare and contrast yourself to others around the league. I don't know why. Is it physical play? Is it style of play? The type of players? Is it unfortunate? Is it surface area? There's a million things. Is it the prep? Is it the weekly rest? Like, who knows? But I can't put my finger on any one thing.
I'm thinking, you know, Bill Belichick used to hide injuries in New England. You think other teams hide their injuries and maybe they're as beat up as the 49ers? They just kind of shove it under the rug.
Well, last year they missed
competitive advantage.
There were four teams that were tied for the most missed games,
and the Niners are definitely
the Niners are one of them.
No
so
doubt.
We could talk about like disclosing, not disclosing.
Right.
If you miss games,
You miss games. But just practices so far. But I'm with you. I mean, it's kind of. They had to cut Greg Joseph because they needed bodies in other places. Yep. Receivers, D-line, DBs. Everybody was dropping like flies in training camp. It was wild. I mean, what's his name? Junior Bergen was like running with the first team one of the days. Bergen or whatever his name is. Number 86 is on the P-Squad right now. So I don't know. I don't know what you can do. They play on grass.
Here's what I would do. I'm being real. This is going to sound absurd. I would hire an outside firm to come in and just evaluate everything we're doing,
right?
And then you know find out around the league who are the teams that are the most injured, who are the least injured. Find out what they're doing and just put together a report.
I do find it funny though.
What?
I do find it funny.
You think that's absurd?
No. I do find it funny though. We're only the 49ers. I wonder if any team or fan base.
Yeah.
Go looks at it like this, where we look at their stretches to see if they're stretching properly.
Well, that's
like we know.
I think that's going too far.
No, but that's where we're at. Well, like we've got people evaluating how they stretch. Fans in the crowd say, "Hey, I go to practice. This is what they do with a stretch." I don't know what they're doing.
We're evaluating sleep in the NBA. So if you don't think we're evaluating how NFL teams stretch, like we're beyond that point.
We need the right sleep number for sure. 2024, the Niners are the most injured team. This is via Warren Sharp. You know who Warren Sharp is, Bonte. Guy's locked in all the different stats and the data and everything. He's a great follow at Sharp Football on Twitter. So 2024, the number one most injured team. 2023, number 29 most injured team, the Niners, went to the Super Bowl, obviously. 2022, the ninth most injured, but they got to the NFC Championship game. You guys were there at Lincoln Financial Field. 2021, the number three most injured team, but they still got to the NFC Championship game that year. 2020, the number one most injured team. Remember that MetLife back-to-back where everyone was dropping like flies. Bosa, Jordan Reed.
They were blaming COVID for that year.
No, that was the field.
I'm joking.
2019, the sixth most injured, but also got to a Super Bowl. And then 2018, the number four most injured team.
George Kittle, right? Right now, he's injured. Let's just play this out. So if day one of the injury was September 7th, 1 week being out would be the Saints game. 2 weeks out would be the Cardinal game, the 21st. That feels aggressive. 3 weeks out is the Jaguar game. That would be three full weeks. But here's the caveat. You play the Cards, and then you turn around and play, you play the Jags, you turn around and play the Thursday Rams on Thursday night. That would be about 4 weeks.
Three and a half.
I would probably, if you ask me today, even though I know you have to hold these designations and you don't want to waste I would probably put Kittle on IR and say, you're returning October 12th.
Yeah, you probably just tell them, we'll see you in Tampa Bay, right?
What do you think?
Because it's George Kittle.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's just unbelievable, the first half. I heard from somebody who said, man, you know, guys like him, maybe they work out too hard in the offseason. I don't know if that has any correlation with being injured in week one.
The guy did not
miss.
Hard?
Yeah, exactly. This guy didn't miss a practice in training camp, for crying out loud. Unless Shanahan said, hey, this is vet day. Stay off the football field. So I don't know. I don't know what you do with George Kittle, but that Rams game could be a pretty big game. And if George Kittle's ready to roll, you know what Shanahan's going to do? Hey, you're going to play Thursday night. We know you got an extended break. You get the weekend off, and then you go down to Tampa Bay to play. we're going to play you against the L.A. Rams.
Well, remember, he missed last year's game against the Rams in L.A., too. Yep. And this is where
that was the Juwan Jennings game.
That was the Juwan Jennings, Ronnie Bell, Jake Moody. It was a lot of people's games.
Jake
that
Moody and Ronnie Bell.
So that gets me to special teams.
Yeah, so let's stop burying the lead here.
Special teams. Okay. Multiple penalties on special teams early in this game. You had both Sky Moore and Guerrero kind of bobble balls. They didn't lose the ball, but they bobbled balls. Coverage unit looked okay. And then you get to the kicker. And to me, there's just so many elements of this. I don't trust him at all. This isn't on Jake Moody anymore. This has been on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I don't know why we're here. And I think it truly has affected how they set things up. They went for it after a missed field goal. They went for it on fourth and two. They complete, I thought, one of the best plays of the day for Brock Purdy. Look, 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 let me whip one in to Luke Farrell underneath. He takes a huge hit. We move the sticks. Now it's fourth and two again, 10 yards away. It's like a 36-yarder. To me, it's like I would have gone for it again there. And they didn't. It got blocked. And then you hear the Pam
Can you
Oliver.
Play the Pam Oliver cut? I love the Pam Oliver cut.
Shout out to
this
Hall
is what I live
the
for.
The Hall of Famer,
in
by the
broadcast,
way.
The Hall
great.
Of Famer.
She's
the
great.
Hall of Famer. When I heard this live, I howled. I'm not going to lie. I cackled. I know everybody was pissed off. I was a little pissed, but at the same time,
laugh at the absurdity
I laughed.
Of it.
This is great.
Kyle Shanahan expects George Kittle, obviously, out of the game. He expects to see more man-to-man from Seattle's defense. Special team lines, no words for Jake Moody, he told me. The guy's just got to make his kicks.
I mean,
no words. No,
what's the other one? Where the two players slam their helmets?
We'll grab it. No, that was the first.
That was halftime.
That was halftime. Yeah,
that was halftime.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I was so mad. I hopped onto Twitter Spaces just because I needed to get
for
my
who?
First for myself.
You did Twitter Spaces at halftime?
At halftime, I just did it because I was so pissed off.
I folded
off.
Laundry with all the anxiety.
I had to get it out of my system because he doinks it. From the left hash, doinks it, and Seattle goes down. Clint Kubiak, what a great play before halftime with the formation and getting Darnold to run for, what, 12, 13
yards.
Beautiful design. Well, they go up 10-7. I'm thinking, how the hell are the Niners down 10-7?
And Greg Olson talked about it right before the half, okay? I don't agree with Greg Olson on this one, but he says, hey, it's 3rd and 1. It's under 2 minutes. You get a first down here. You don't want to let Seattle get the ball back.
It.
I'm like, well, they have 3 timeouts, and you have 2. And so they get stuffed on. It's 1 minute and 10 seconds left. CMC gets stuffed. Timeout Seattle.
Yep.
You throw on 2nd. You throw on 3rd.
Right.
They don't burn any of their timeouts. And then you obviously missed the field goal.
Yep.
It allows Seattle to be able to carve up the middle of the field with those timeouts.
Yep.
So here's what Greg Olson said. Then we'll play the Pam Oliver, the frustrated Niners. But this is what Greg Olson said, as you're alluding to, Joe, on the Fox broadcast.
And just, again, go back to right on the plus side of the two-minute warning before the Moody miss. We said how important it was for San Francisco to not only score, you can see a little doink here, to not only score, but knowing you get the ball back in the second half, don't give Seattle another possession. And just, that's the little things. And again, it's early in the season and situational ball, but again, there's a lot of game left to be played in the second half, but you got the ball under the two-minute warning with a fresh set of downs. At the very least, you are the last team to touch the ball.
By the way, stream your local NFL game all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today, Joe.
But the problem was, I had no problem with the two passes. Everyone's going to rip Shanahan for the time management. Just make the kick. Like the kicker's got to just make the kick. Like we're trying to find a scapegoat when the scapegoat is the kicker. Make the kick.
Brent Boyer, who supposedly is a special teams guru, they bring him in because they fired everybody in the special teams room last year, and he brings in a lot of his players, which kind of hindered you from making other moves in training camp because Brent Boyer had to have his guys on special teams. Well, not a smashing debut. I gave special teams an F. F plus, F minus, for crying out loud.
Monte's report and, card.
But no, listen, he made the Raiders. He made Grady's. I saw that. Grady's grades. Grady's grades. I kind of like that.
I love it, too.
Everybody's got something nowadays, man. Everybody's got something. Listen, he made the kick against the Raiders, and everybody went crazy. You got beat writers saying, Jake Moody this and Jake Moody that. Delete your tweets this. And hey, listen, I don't get caught up in that stuff. I'm saying, wait until week one. I said it on the show. Wait until week one when he lines up for the left hash from 48. Well, this one was 27. But Brent Boyer, this quote is going to come back to bite him in the ass. He goes after that Raider game. I mean, it could change his career. It's one of those kicks where what I really liked about his response for the 52-yard miss, I believe He showed a lot of character in that moment where he came back and hit two clutch ones. The one to tie it and the one to win it. I think he showed the moxie he has and the confidence he started to gain. I think it was critical for him. And so, I get it. You're trying to get the kid to be confident.
Yeah, you're hyping him up.
But then you pan the camera on Jake Moody and you look at him, you say, this guy wants nothing to do with this football game. What's nothing to do with
it? I said that when I look at him, and it's again, I'm not trying to pull the guru. I looked into his eyes. Just no, look at him. He no, doesn't look confident.
And
I'm not even hating.
And for crying out loud, it changed the way Shanahan had to call the game.
Exactly. Exactly.
That missed kick is really causing some frustration down on the 49ers sideline. I saw two thrown helmets and a lot of ticked off looking players. Kyle Shanahan praised Moody. When we spoke to him, he felt that the kicker would rebound from last season. He did have an injury, though, but he felt like that Moody's healthy and should make his kick.
Pam, I love you, Pam. Listen, Pam. Pam's been at it for a long time, man. Listen. Kyle Shanahan and his emotions, when Moody missed the first one off the upright, Shanahan was irate. And then when it gets blocked, I don't care if it's not Moody's fault. You knew something was going to go awry there. And Shanahan was livid. So I got to know who the two players. Somebody's got to have a camera phone out there as a Niner fan to see the two players slam their helmets. Was it Christian McCaffrey?
I mean, they showed McCaffrey and Juice sitting on the bench. I just assumed it was Christian.
Well, we know what Kyle Shanahan said because they panned to him immediately with the biggest F-bomb of the season so far.
I'm dead serious. I thought Parcells would have cut him at halftime.
Dude, well, I think he still may get cut.
You brought up the Brant Boyer cut, and I found it after the preseason game two game winner at Allegiant Stadium.
What did you and I say? You were like, that's a great thing for him. And I said to Spone, I go, that might be the worst possible thing that could have happened.
You're not lying.
Kick that game winner.
Could change his career. It's one of those kicks where,
oh my God.
You know, and what I really liked about
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.